Now recently, visited a church, and I discovered that the pastor was preaching a series of sermons on the kingdom of God, on heaven. And apparently, because a wall in the church was in bad need of painting, he had encouraged the people to write their questions about heaven on the wall. So people from the congregation, literally in great big letters, writing questions about heaven and how you get to heaven and all kinds of things on the wall of the church. I thought it was a great method to get the wall painted. Okay, because when the sermon series is over, you got to get rid of it, right? But they were asking some interesting questions. I stood there for a while and just read the questions people were asking about heaven. Fascinating questions, like, will my dog be in heaven? Will everyone be saved and go to heaven? Will I know my parents in heaven? This one I loved. Can you be kicked out of heaven once you've gotten in? See, it seems that people always want to know more about things, particularly about being saved and about the kingdom of God, than the Bible tells us. We want to know everything. We are uncomfortable with not knowing, aren't we? And sometimes we want to make up what we don't know, don't we? Well, it was even true, apparently, in Jesus' day. For on the day about which Jeff just read to you from the scripture, somebody came up to Jesus and wrote their question on the wall. Jesus, the person said, Lord, are only a few people getting into heaven? That's what the guy wanted to know. Are only a few people going to be saved? What the man wanted to know was how many people get into the kingdom of God. Now, before we get to Jesus' answer to the man's question, let me just set some things straight about the question and the one who asked it. You ready? Number one, the questioner was most likely Jewish. We know that because Jesus was in Israel. And guess who lives there? Jews. Okay, so he was most likely Jewish. And as a Jew, he would have thought that he had an in because of his birth. He would have believed that because he was Jewish, he was saved. If anybody was getting into heaven, it was people like him. He would have expected Jesus to answer his question by saying that all good Jews were going to heaven just because they were Jewish. And conversely, he would have expected Jesus to say that non-Jews, people like you and me, did not stand a chance. Shut up. Because of our birth. The questioner would have expected Jesus to confirm his place in heaven simply because he was Jewish. Now, I just want to stop here for a minute and I want to warn you. If you're sitting out there and you're thinking you got a place in heaven because of who you are, because of who bore you, because you're here in this house this morning, think again. Think again. You can't get into heaven because of your last name or your first name. You can't get into heaven because you were born in this country or any country. Won't work. Number two, the questioner was asking the right question. Ready? See, despite the fact that he expected Jesus to confirm his place in heaven, the man was concerned about that which matters most and upon which everything of importance hangs, salvation. The man was asking questions about the most important subject in the world, who will be saved. Now, I want to be straight with you about this. In our world today, people believe that everybody's going to heaven just because they breathe. In fact, it's some of the songs that we were just singing. You could get that impression. Jesus is Savior of all. And it is true that Jesus intends to save everybody who comes to him, bowing and confessing him to be Savior and Lord. He will save everyone who comes. There is enough of Jesus to go around. But the fact of the matter is that what the world tells us is not true. People argue that God, if there is such a thing of God, is just all love. And that he, being all love, could not possibly shut anyone out of his kingdom because he loves everybody. They say that all you need to do to get into heaven is breathe. Pay attention. There are other people who argue that there is no such thing as salvation. In fact, these people usually argue that God does not exist at all. If he does exist, he's way off there remote someplace and doesn't care a thing about what we do down here. So you're free to do whatever you want to do because God just simply doesn't exist. Like the man who asked the question of Jesus, people today think that their place in heaven is secure. Or unlike the man who asked that question of Jesus, they're not asking the all-important question at all because they really have concluded that death is the end of life and there is nothing to worry about beyond. You don't need to be saved because this is it. You may be thinking like the people of the world in which we live today. You may be sitting there saying to yourself, everybody goes to heaven. And what I want you to know is, according to the Word of God, that ain't true. Okay, you may be sitting out there saying to yourself, there is no God beyond the grave, so I don't need to worry about being saved. There's nothing beyond life. And I want you to know that that's not true. So listen now to Jesus' answer to the question, how many will be saved? I always love it when they ask Jesus a question and he doesn't answer it. See, the guy wants a number. How many? The response is 10, 20. But Jesus, instead of answering the question, corrected the man's question. In effect, Jesus said to him, the question's not how many will be saved. The question is, will you be among those who are? Jesus told the man to take a good look at himself. He said to him, and I quote, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Jesus' point is that not everyone, not even everyone who thinks they are going to heaven, is indeed going to heaven, but only those who find the narrow door. The door which leads to heaven is not a broad gate that always stands wide open, through which you cannot help but go and through which throngs of people pass. The scripture says that the door to heaven is narrow. Jesus said to the man, look for the narrow door. Now I want to tell you, in answering the question so far the way he did, Jesus, number one, concedes the existence of heaven. So if you're with the part of the world that's sitting out there saying there is nothing beyond life, you are in disagreement with Jesus. I know that doesn't matter to you because you've already concluded that what Jesus says doesn't matter because there ain't nothing there and you know more than everybody. Okay? Do you know this Jesus thing has been going on for 2,000 years? Do you know that people smarter than you have bent the knee and accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord because they've come to the conclusion that indeed he does exist and knows what he's talking about? You're taking a terrible risk today if you're sitting out there saying it doesn't exist when Jesus Christ says it does. I'll tell you what, I could call on many witnesses right here in this place, some of them far older and smarter than you, who are saying he's right. There is life beyond death. First thing I want you to note is in answering the question, Jesus does not argue the existence of heaven. He concedes that it exists. Okay? There is life after death. And secondly, Jesus makes it very clear that not everybody who breathes is going there. Okay? So if you think you're getting in just because you are, you better think again. Because the Word of God does not say that. Jesus Christ does not say that. He tells us that some are coming. Those who find the narrow door. And Jesus went on to explain to the man that the time to find the narrow door is now. Jesus told the man, can I just stop? Do you know why you're here? Because God brought you here today. I had this huge, terrible experience last night. For the first time in my life, I went to the NAACP banquet. I went because I was invited to come. Sitting there minding my own business, and the person who was supposed to do the benediction decided he didn't want to do the benediction and suggested to the chairman of the program that the person who should do the benediction was me. Now, can I tell you something? I didn't want to do the benediction. Okay, I'm going to tell you something. That's why God sent me to the NAACP dinner, was to do the benediction. It was His will that I do the benediction. Okay? Did I want to? No. You know why you're here? Because God brought you here today. He brought you here because He wants you to hear this message. The time to find the narrow door is not tomorrow. It is today. That is why God has brought you here. You hear me? Jesus told the man in the story that the time would come when the one who controlled the narrow door, that is God, would close the door. And even if you stood outside begging and banging on the door for the owner of the house to open it to you, he would not open the door. Jesus told the man not to put off coming through the door, for the time to enter the door is now. For when the door closes, and it will close, the opportunity is gone, and it may never come again. This is the moment to enter heaven through the narrow door. You hear me? Now, Jesus told the man that you cannot depend on relationship alone to get you into heaven. See, some of us think we're going to go to heaven because of who we know. Okay? Our grandmother, our mother-in-law, our wife, our good friend. Jesus said that when the door, the narrow door closes, you will plead. We ate with you. We drank with you. You taught in our streets. And Jesus said, the owner will say to you, I do not know you. Depart from me, you evildoer. Jesus said, if you call me Savior before men, then I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. If you choose him as your Savior and Lord here and now, then when you die and stand before the narrow door, it will swing open for you and you will be admitted to heaven. But if you play around here, even if you sit in church and pretend to know Jesus, but you don't have him in your heart. He does not rule in your mind. You're sitting there going, I ain't doing it his way. You ready for this one? I know it'll make some of you mad. You're sitting there saying, I am not going to sing. I am not going to sing. I am not going to sing. I won't shout. I won't shout. I'm going to be dignified. If you play around with Jesus now, even if you pretend to know Jesus now, But do not name him Savior and Lord and put him above everything else in your life. You can bang all you want on that door, and it will not open. See, Jesus is the narrow door. There is no way, no way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And unless you choose Jesus today, you cannot enter through the narrow door. You will not be in heaven. I'm sorry, but there it is. It's not my word. It came from the Son of God, from the Father. Jesus told that man that many who think they are in will be surprised when they stand at that door and find it locked shut. Those who think they are in just might not be. Said Jesus, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So here it is, my friends. Today, don't you look at me. Don't look at Phil. Don't look at anybody sitting around you. You take one good, hard look into yourself. Because the real question is not how many will be saved. The real question is, will you be among those who are saved? It does not matter who you know. It does not matter what your name is. It does not matter if you are rich or poor, or how well connected you may think you are. It doesn't matter who your friends are. To go to heaven, you must pass through the narrow door. And that door is Jesus. Unless you make him your Savior, by acknowledging him to be so before others and living your life to honor him, no matter what it cost you, living your life to honor Jesus, you will not be in heaven. Jesus is the narrow door. Choose Jesus today.